The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Former Real Housewife and multimillionaire Bethany Frankel says the reason you're poor and the earth is dying is because of something you're probably going to do this morning. She is calling out people who are spending way too much money going out to get drinks, but by drinks, I mean coffee.
People who spend money out on coffee are stupid. Like, it's bad for the environment. It is a waste of money. And it could be like $8, $9 for these lavender lattes, the Nutella. It's so stupid. And also, it's like having a milkshake. Like, somehow everyone has convinced themselves that, like, all these sweetened matcha and banana and blueberry and all that stuff, that is like somehow like some version of healthy, like macadamia milk and oat milk and all this stuff. Like, make it at home and make it yourself.
I don't think she's wrong.
I think she's right. I completely agree.
What?
Then would you never go to a restaurant because you can make that food at home?
No, I just think it's different when you're going every single day and you're also tricking yourself into thinking that you're drinking something healthy when it's got nothing but sugar in there and additives and stuff like that.
Let people have their sweet treats.
Yeah. I'm not saying don't go. I mean, but she's right.
This very much is giving off energy. Like, while there is some truth to what she's saying, again, it's more like it's not the message, it's the delivery. It's like, why are you yucking my yum? Yeah. Every now and then it's nice to go out and get a nice like cappuccino. And I'm not a fan of like the, like, you know, fancy with like when you go to Starbucks and there's like 33 instructions to get your drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's not my jam. And I don't think you should kid yourself. Like, some of those drinks are really unhealthy.
It's dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. But if that's what you want to do,
right,
then so be it. Mo, as a Frappuccino lover yourself, yes. How is this hitting with you?
Well, see, the thing is, I do love a good Frappuccino, but I have that probably once every 3 months. Mm-hmm. My lady has this every single day. We get the same coffee, the same brand. I get mine from the supermarket. It costs me $12 for the pack, lasts me 2 months. Hers costs $8 and lasts one day. It's a simple math.
I'm doing the math on that.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel the same way about that as I do about going to a McDonald's or fast food. Like, you know what you're going for. Go enjoy the taste, but it's not healthy. But go in and enjoy it, right?
I mean, you can say that about so many
things. Of course, yeah. And I think you need that in your life, man. And also, there is something about it, though, about, like, I don't have a desire for a Starbucks coffee until I'm in the airport, and then all of a sudden, it's the best coffee I've ever had in my life.
It's situational. That's how I feel about most alcoholic beverages. Like, I'm not really like a big whiskey drinker, but when it like gets to 40, 50 degrees and there's a chill in the air, I turn into like an old man. I'm like, get me a flannel and an old fashioned. Okay, I was geeking out yesterday because I saw this clip of Travis Kelce on his podcast, New Heights Podcast, with his brother Jason Kelce, and he was talking about a movie that they had just watched together. And in the moment, while they were talking about this old movie that they had seen from back in the day, Travis realized, wait, I think this is actually a movie about my life.
I think the only way to gauge it is to flip the script. I think we need to make Pretty Man.
Pretty Man.
We need to have a CEO billionaire woman
be so
high class that she doesn't know where she's going.
Travis,
she doesn't know how to drive a car.
You're living Pretty Man right now. You are Pretty Man. You're living your own Julia Roberts straight
now. I'm wearing nothing but a tie when Taylor comes home.
Of course, we all heard that. We're like, oh, when Taylor comes home, they live together. Just forgot how much I love Tavis.
All right, I'm gonna let you decide because I mean, it's my cup of coffee that I got here at work. I didn't go somewhere beforehand and pay extra, so Bethany Frankel doesn't have to come down on me. Do I need to do a parody song, Pretty Man?
Oh wow,
Pretty old school. Man. Walking down the street.
I can't endorse
it.
Yeah. I can't endorse any of your parody songs, but this one might have some legs.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it.
All right. I'll work on it and see if I can get it to you for tomorrow.
Perfect.
The Burt Show.
I feel like there should be some kind of American Idol / The Voice audition process for therapists. Because it is so hard to find a good one. And by the time you realize that you guys don't mesh, you're already $400 into the thing. So when you do find a therapist, then you hold on for dear life, right? So why do you have a friend that's found a great one and still wants to dump them?
So everything you're saying, I completely agree with, and I'm attempting to use that experience to get him to go in a certain direction, and he is torn, and I'll tell you why. But I also think it's funny that my lady and I are on completely opposite sides of this, and I can see both sides of it clearly, but I think I know what he should do. So I've told y'all before that in the black community, it's tough sometimes to get like your friends and your family to go to therapy. It's like usually a last resort option for us because of the stereotype that has always come with the fact that if you go to therapy, it means something's wrong with you, right? So it's like you kind of stay away from it.
But we all have something wrong with it.
Yeah. He took the words out of
yeah. And the fact that you think you can't go to a therapist because you don't want to show that there's something wrong with you is the example that there's something wrong with you.
Right, which has been an issue in the community for a while. Yeah. And I think that that's changing, right? That narrative is changing, which is good. And one of my friends is, he's been having a tough go at it in life. He's a mutual friend of myself and my lady. And I finally convinced him, like, bro, just give it a shot. Just go to therapy, man. Just try one time. What's the worst that could happen? And he fought it for a while, but then he finally did it. He finally goes to therapy. And so he's like, I'm kind of walking him through it. Like, you know, it's going to be an evaluation, the first one. And they do that whole thing. And then he sets up his first actual session.
Let me ask you guys about your first session of therapy real quick, because it's been consistent with me. And I'm wondering if it's just a me thing, just as a sidebar here real quick. I almost feel like it's Vegas. You know, when you go to Vegas, I think Vegas knows that you're new to Vegas. So they allow you to win like once or twice. So you keep coming back or you keep betting and then you never win again. I feel like a therapist does the same thing. When you sit down there for the very first time, they hit you with some kind of internal nugget that blows you away to hook you in to become a client.
That has been my experience, actually.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they might not be right for the next 10 sessions.
That's kind of how I got sucked into my therapist now.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he goes to the evaluation. He was like, it wasn't that bad. He said it felt really awkward telling this strange person everything, all his darkest and deepest secrets. And I'm like, that's very normal. A lot of us feel awkward in that space, but it gets easier the more you go. So he's like, cool, I'm going to go to the first session. So he goes to the first session. He comes back and he tells us, it was amazing, which I was not expecting at all, because this dude is really tough to get to. But he's like, I loved her. I loved everything about her. Like, she sat there. She listened to me. She didn't try to fix anything. She was just a great listener, and she kind of analyzed my reality in a way that I've never had anyone do, and she put it into perspective for me that I've never had. And I'm like, to me, that's a sign of a really good therapist.
Sure.
Like, that's what you want. So he's like, and I'm never going back.
What?
That's what I said. So I'm like, What you mean you're not going back? Like, what's the problem? So he says, well, I feel like she lied to me. And it did something to my morality. And I said, what? How does a therapist lie to you, man? Like, what is going on? So he tells me that I guess when he initially spoke to her, he asked her what a session was going to cost. She gave him a price. I think the price was like $150, right? Which is, I think that's pretty standard.
It is.
So then he does the session, and then he gets the bill, and the session was like $200, and then it had a few other additional expenses.
What is
like
that?
Like add-ons?
Right. So he was like, yo. Now, he didn't want to come off cheap, and he didn't know if that was normal.
Like
so
a convenience fee?
Like he
$10 for sympathy, $15 for a singular tear.
Yeah.
Seriously, right?
I don't know what the additional charges were, but he asked her why wasn't the session itself $150. And she said, well, if you read through the terms and conditions that she sent out in the email, it's actually $200. And my lady was like, yo, if you really love her though and you vibed and connected with her, I'm telling you right now, as hard as it is to find a good therapist, just pay the $50. I feel like if you're going to somebody about having abandonment issues and about people lying to you,
yeah,
and then your therapist out the gate start lying to you, you probably should go to a different therapist.
I'm with you, man. Once that trust would have been broken like that, even in a small way, if we weren't completely transparent with each other, that's over for me. I got to go see somebody else. Even if I had a great I am not paying it.
That's how I feel. And I didn't know if that was my pride, but I'm like, I think you should find a different therapist.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly, because like having that trust is so key with you and your therapist. And it just, it, And maybe she doesn't think she's lying, but it's just very sus. It's shady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want a shady therapist. Right. Like, you tell me what the, like, whatever the price is, you tell me what the price is. I've been doing therapy for years. You can't tell, but I've been doing it for years. And Susan has a flat rate that has increased over the years, which I understand. Mm-hmm. And so I continue to pay more because we vibe. I like her. She's never lied to me.
And they tell you that before it's on your bill.
Absolutely. Right? Yep. And so and it's always been very transparent. But it's like, this is the price. There's been no taxes. There's been no fees. There's been no add-ons for empathy. Like, I am like blown away by this.
That's where I'm conflicted because I don't really feel like he got lied to. So if we're going to call this therapist a liar, I don't know if that's the right title.
Yeah.
It's a little sus, but at the same time, like, he could have read the fine print. Like,
I could have done
Nobody
that.
Nobody ever does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I could have done that on Instagram too, but I never did it there. I like Abby's idea though. I think it's a flat zero fee until you go in there and at the end of the session, based on what the therapist gave you, that's what they charge you. So some days it's going to be $20. Yeah. Other days it's going to be $220. I like Abby's
idea.
That's
what I was wondering. Like, what did you go in there and say to her? And she was like, nah, I'm going to need another $50 out of this dude. And now I feel bad because I finally get him to go to therapy and he feels like the therapist scammed him.
Abby, I think you stumbled on something incredible, man. A therapist a la carte menu. It's a great idea.
You have to pay extra for empathy and for those nuggets that are going to stay with for the next 15 minutes.
It makes sense.
Do you want life-changing advice? It's going to cost you an extra 50.
The Burt Show.
Have a new goal that I'm trying to execute by tonight, and I think only the ladies of the Burt Show could help me with this. I've only heard women talk about it, and I've seen you guys try it and pull it off perfectly, right?
Yes. Fake eyelashes would look amazing on you.
Yeah. I could give you some really good self-tanner.
Ooh. Okay, what is yours really good? Because I mean, the way it kind of develops over time, it's racist.
What's the word? You just called me a racist on national radio.
Not you, it's your tan.
It's not you, it's your face.
So Tuesday, I was supposed to get my hair cut on Wednesday, right, for our big live show, which is tonight.
So yesterday.
But doubled and tripled book, not realizing that I had a whole bunch of stuff to do with our Pioneer Network people yesterday. So I hit up my stylist and Blanca, I can't make it on Wednesday. I'm an idiot. I've triple booked. Can you help me out? Sorry, I'm not going to be in on Tuesday. I got blah, blah, blah going on, but I can set you up with somebody else. Okay, so I'm desperate. I'm absolutely desperate, and I trust Blanca with all of my heart and all of my hair. So she suggests somebody. I go to her, and I think she did a great job on it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I noticed you got your hair did.
And the stakes were high because I even told her when I sat in the chair, I'm like, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. I got a live show, and I got pictures to take on when you can't mess this up. So I think I scared her enough that I was literally in the chair for 2 hours for my haircut.
That's hours, crazy.
Right? She did a fine job on it, right? And it's good enough to where what I am trying to do now since Tuesday is keep the same hair so I can use it for tonight.
I hear you.
Okay, I went to a pool with Amanda's son the other day. Kept my hair and head above the water, so the haircut is still everything she did to it. She put all the creams in there, and the powders in there, and the sprays in there, and it looks good.
Welcome to the life of a woman.
That's
trying
what
to
I'm
make
saying.
Trying to make your hair appointment last for as long as possible.
So I'm at the Lifetime pool with him, and I'm trying to keep my head above water, and he wants me to go under. I'm like, no, not today. And then yesterday, I wake up, and I'm like, okay, it's looking still okay, still pretty fly. And then Amanda fixed it yesterday for the Pioneer shoot, and I haven't had to do anything in 2 days. All I got to do is keep it for the rest of the day until tonight. Are there any tips from the ladies on how not to jack up your hair in a couple more hours?
Can we get a spin? A slow spin?
Oof. I'm just kidding. It looks great.
There is something weird going on up here.
At the top?
Yeah, there's like a dent.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I try to fluff that out. But aside from staying out of water, you should be fine.
A little dry shampoo if needed, but I don't think you need any.
And what is the dry shampoo?
It just soaks up the oil, so it makes it look refreshed.
So I won't have to re-put product in if I do that.
No, don't put product in.
Because
even
with the dent in the top of the head that I'm not aware of, because I don't look at the top of my head, it's still at 75% where I want it to be. So just to maintain it, Should I not go to bed again? Like, I'm going to take a nap today. Should I do that sitting up?
A silk cap wouldn't hurt.
A what?
A silk cap. I was going to ask, like, do y'all don't put anything on your hair at night when you sleep?
I have a silk pillowcase.
Okay.
I do if I really want to preserve the blowout, and it works really well, because people don't realize when you sleep on your hair, especially if you have long hair, it gets really hot. I saw Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye talk about this. It's like having a flat iron on your hair all night when it's like up against your neck and something like that. So silk caps, okay, like almost like a shower cap, okay, just to protect it. You look so cute.
Because you a dewy.
I want to have a pink shower cap.
If I show up tonight to the live and I have like a Braves hat on, you know I wasn't successful. All right, Abby knows something that the rest of her family does not know. There is a good time to get a new pet, and there is a bad time, and Abby thinks this is a bad time.
Yes, I am the voice of emotional reason in my family, which you know means my family is in dire straits if I'm the person with their head on their shoulders. My head is screwed on right, because my family thinks that now is the right time while we're emotionally weak and vulnerable to swoop in and adopt another dog. Long story short, we just lost a pet very traumatically. My mom, not doing well. I'm actually a little concerned about her. I'm like, you should probably get on medication.
Has there been a reason why you haven't told us what that, you've referenced it a couple of different times.
Well, you keep pushing it from the schedule, so I keep going, they don't want to talk about it.
Well, here we are now.
Long story short, over break, my mom, we had two dogs at home. We have Leo, who's about 11 or 12 years old, and then we have Griffin, who was 7. And Griffin has always been like very, he's been like an aggressive dog. He's like small. He's a little toy. He's a mix between a poodle and a morky. So he's like this little yappy dog, and he's always just been kind of aggressive. So while Leo, who's the older dog, who we have been preparing to pass away because he's like 11 or 12, they've been going to all these doctor appointments, and Griffin has been getting some tests as well. And the doctor advised for Griffin to get this preventative surgery because I guess his liver enzymes are like elevated or something. And that's apparently what's been making him super aggressive. We're like, oh my God, finally, we're going to get this normal dog. We're going to have him go through this very routine surgery. We're going to get those liver enzymes done. And then he's going to be a happy little dog so that when Leo passes away, he's a happy, mentally stable dog. So long story short, Griffin goes through the surgery. Everything goes fine until he gets out of surgery. Then 24 hours later, he starts having like these seizures. And yeah, so my mom takes him home and, you know, it takes him back to the doctor. The doctors don't really know what to do. So then we drive all the way to Gainesville, Florida, which is 2 hours from my parents' house. And we take him to this vet hospital at the University of Florida. And they just like had him hooked up to all these wires and he's seizing and he's bleeding from his nose. I mean, it was like actually the most, they're so traumatic to see him basically like on this ICU table in this animal hospital, like basically dead, but trying to keep him alive for a week. So it was just kind of like, it just took a while for it to happen, and having to see him in that state was absolutely heinous. And then of course, anybody knows when you have to make that decision to like euthanize a pet, it feels like you're killing them. Mm-hmm. Even though you know it's the right decision, you're making that decision to like off them.
Yeah.
So my mom has not been doing well, like point blank period, because that was like her dog. So now we're left with Leo, who's doing great, but we thought he was going to be the one to die. So now we're just bopping around with the dumbest dog of them all. Oh. He has like no brain activity, just like no thoughts, just vibes. And the one dog that had a smithering of personality is gone. Oh, so long story short, all that to say is it's left this massive void in my family's life, because these are my mom's kids at this point. Like, she doesn't need to call me and my brother all the time to check in on us. Like, these dogs are her babies. Like, when you talk about the dogs that are high maintenance and get hand fed with bougie, rich, upper middle class dog food. Like, these are those kinds of dogs. And so my mom, looking at Leo, who is also now super depressed because his brother died randomly because he was 7 years old and not supposed to pass away for another 7 years. My mom's like, we need to get another dog to fill this void. And I'm like, no, this is a terrible idea. Like, you guys thought after Griffin passed, you guys were just going to be empty nesters, point blank period, not have any more pets. So why don't let this emotional valley change that decision, because you guys want to be able to have the freedom to travel and do all the things. Like, these dogs clearly are consuming your life. Like, we just spent like tens of thousands of dollars to keep our dog alive for a week only for him to die anyway. So just don't get another dog. Or if you are, give it a week. Give it a week and nobody seems to be listening to me because they keep sending me photos of these dogs that they want to buy that look like Griffin. Mm. And I'm like, you can't replace Griffin. Griffin is gone. Like, you can get this dog that looks like him, but every single time you look at this dog, you're going to think about this horrible thing that our family just went through and how awful it was to see him like bleeding from his eyes on the ICU table. Like, give it a beat and then we can reconvene when you get on Lexapro. I was like, can we all agree on that?
Do you need me to smuggle some in for you so you can crush it up and put it in her coffee the next time you see her?
Listen, she's coming to see a country concert with me next weekend. I am ready to slip it into her coffee, put it under her nose, make her snort it, ingest it. Yeah,
I got you.
You're 100% right on this.
100%. It's insane.
Yeah.
The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Before his passing this week, Ozzy Osbourne had already vocalized something he wanted to happen at his funeral. He apparently told his family, and I quote, "I honestly don't care what music they play at my funeral. They can put on a medley of Justin Bieber, Susan Boyle, and We Are the Diddy Men if it makes them happy." Because, of course, you know, the funeral was really more for the living than for the dead. But he did say in other interviews that there is one thing he would like played at his celebration of life in order to not, quote, make it a mope fest. He said that he would like them to play a Beatles song, possibly a song called A Day in the Life. Paramedics reportedly tried for 2 hours to save Ozzy's life. Damn. Now there is also a memorial on a Birmingham Bridge, which of course was his hometown, to pay tribute to Black Sabbath. There was already a memorial that paid tribute to Black Sabbath that has now become a memorial for Ozzy. And actually Drake played Birmingham last night and he stopped by the bridge and poured one out for Ozzy. So two legends on different sides of the universe.
Yeah, and I saw Lady Gaga too after her performance paid tribute to Ozzy wearing one of his concert tees and like just rocking on stage, which I thought was really cool.
Something interesting that's come out is that Ozzy's last performance at the Back to Beginning show, it went down on July 5th. He died on July 22nd, so that is a 17-day difference. And somebody pointed out that Ozzy's close friend Lemmy from Motorhead also played his last gig in Berlin on December 11th, 2015. And then he died on December 28th, 17 days later. So kind of a weird coincidence between the two that people are pointing out. There's a new list that came out that's talking about 10 roles that very popular actors ultimately regretted, which I thought was really interesting because some of these movies I love. Like, these are movies that if you ask me for my top 10 list of favorite films I will want to watch, they are on. And it's so sad to hear that these actors don't feel the same way about these movies after having done everything and looking back in hindsight. On this list is Ben Affleck talking about a movie called Daredevil. Mm-hmm. He said that was before people realized you could make superhero movies and make them well.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
That was bad.
It was horrible.
George Clooney's spoke up about Batman and Robin. He said, "I thought at the time that this was going to be a very good career move. It wasn't." Michelle Pfeiffer spoke up about Grease 2. She said, "I was young and I didn't know better. I hated that film with a vengeance.
Kristen.
Could not believe how bad it was."
Listen, she's allowed to hate it if she wants to. I still love it.
Kristen believes that sequel is better than the original, which is blasphemy.
I don't ever recall saying better. I may have said that to get under Tommy's skin, but I say they are equally good.
They are not equally good.
They are
good.
Equally good.
There's one
good
song, Cool Rider, in that one. That was
I'll
it.
I'll be your girl for all seasons.
Abby, you didn't say
all the way through.
Well, she's going to get it all.
Your girl for all seasons, because I love
you. You didn't give the hell.
I don't think. You haven't turned anybody around.
I don't know. You won me over.
Thank you.
The full title of the movie should be Grease 2 Abomination.
Jessica Alba also spoke up about Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. She said, "I wanted to stop acting. I hated it. I really hated it. This one hurt me in my soul." Zac Efron spoke out about High School Musical, which is basically Grease, but repackaged. He said, "I stepped back and look at myself, and I still want to kick that guy's butt sometimes." Also, Timothée Chalamet spoke out about A Rainy Day in New York, which makes a little bit more sense because, of course, it's a Woody Allen film. Mm. So he actually donated his entire salary to charity.
Good for him.
Viola Davis spoke out about working on The Help. She said, "I just felt like at the end of the day that it wasn't the voices of the maids that were heard in that film. Yeah. It was catering to the white audience."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. Speaking speaking of icons, Adam Sandler, just pivoting to another icon, Adam Sandler is responding to being labeled an unintentional style icon. If you know Adam Sandler, he's always known for wearing those baggy gym shorts, a long t-shirt, basically just putting in zero effort into his outfit.
How does it feel to unintentionally kind of become a style icon? Like, is it flattering or is it confusing?
It's funny as hell. And whenever one of my kids or their friends talk to me about it, it's definitely, my wife's like, what the hell are we talking about right now? How did that happen? But my wife always was nice to me about my clothes. Even when we were young, others would say, would you put on something better than that? Your wife's dressed so beautifully. My wife would say, he's comfortable like that. Let him
He's
do
happy.
That.
He's happy. Leave him alone. I'm looking at his Sunday swagger. I noticed he dressed up for you because there's things that match.
Yeah, there's little something.
There's like a little green, little boot. Yeah, it's all going together. That's his dress look.
It's so hard not to like him because what he wears is just so purely him, and it's such a middle finger to celebrities in that industry. Like, I've got to change to try to keep up with everybody. He's just like, this is how I am, man.
And guess where he got his start? On The Cosby Show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was on the red carpet. He was on the red carpet. He was one of Theo's friends. He was on the red
carpet. Wow, he was.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I never put that together.
Because he was on the red carpet and somebody asked him about Malcolm Jamal Warner. And I'm like, why are you like doing it? And then like they start showing clips of him like when he first started his acting career. And he was had the kindest things to say about Malcolm Jamal Warner and that they would go on walks along the studios and would play basketball together and just hang out and had like these great conversations. And yeah, I was like completely
That's
forgot.
Beautiful. And yeah. He's been dressed like he's about to play basketball ever since.
That's his MO.
In loving memory.
I saw a video of him rolling up to some award show the other day, but he drove himself. You know, all these other celebrities have limos and they have security coming out. And he just pulls up in his truck with his wife and valet takes his car. He just drove himself.
Gotta
That's what
respect
he does.
That.
That's Adam Sandler.
The Burt Show.
Follow-up Thursday. That's what we call Thursdays here. You hit us up and you're like, hey, Burt Show, whatever happened to blank? And we cover them on Thursdays.
So Nancy's husband wanted to Instagram live the birth of their first child so his family, who lives across the country, could watch. She was uncomfortable with this idea and wanted the birth to be private, an intimate moment. But her husband's mom wanted as much access as possible to the birth experience. We all agreed that there wasn't much of a discussion to have with her husband. Telling him no should be the end of the discussion. Nancy was relieved to know that we were on her side, but we need to know how she handled the situation going forward with her husband.
The update reads, hi, Burt Show. First, I'm excited to share our wonderful news. Our beautiful baby girl came into the world healthy and happy. I'm tired, but I'm also overwhelmed with love for this tiny, freaky alien I birthed. My husband and I had a serious conversation after I spoke with all of you. Thank you for validating my feelings. I was able to put my foot down confidently. No way was I going to let him Instagram live our birth. Mm-mm. He's so technologically inept that there was a pretty big chance he would have publicly shared my hoo-ha to all of our friends and family anyway.
For sure. For sure that would have happened.
He asked me what he should say to his family. I told him to figure it out himself. Thankfully, I didn't hear anything. They may have requested something crazy, but they at least had enough decorum to not complain to a heavily pregnant woman. So there is a little bit of a twist. I changed my mind literally the day before I was induced. I don't know if it was the hormones or just the anticipation of the day, but I told my husband he could record the birth as a video on his phone. I didn't want to share it live, but I figured that after we met baby girl and took some time to settle in at home, that I would be able to decide whether or not I wanted to share the video with the extended family.
She gets final editing rights. Okay.
So when the S hit the fan, he whipped out his camera and recorded the whole thing. We only went back to watch it a week after we got home. In all the excitement, my husband did record the birth, but had flipped the camera and only recorded his face.
Beautiful. Are you kidding me, man?
Beautiful.
I laughed so hard, I peed. Thanks again for the advice, Nancy.
Oh, my God.
Bless. All right. I actually want to take phone calls from people who have screwed up something like this because I was trying to record my husband finding out the gender of our baby.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of hitting record, the phone was already recording and I turned it off and I recorded nothing.
Oh, no. I do like this. I like this. Yeah. 1-855-VIRTUAL. You were supposed to be recording something and you either didn't hit record or you ended up doing a selfie. You messed it and you missed the moment. I've done this 5 times on Hollis's scores.
Are you serious?
On soccer. Yeah. Cause what I'll do is I'll set myself up on the side that he's going to score on if he scores by that net. And I will just hit record every time he's getting close. And there have been so many bangers that I have missed because I didn't hit record or I hit photo instead of video. So many. And he'll hit me after the game. Did you get it? Did you get it? Yeah, I got it. No, I didn't get it.
So this was a monumental moment for my husband and I, because if you've been here for the get-go, you know we went through IVF. So there wasn't a lot of surprises along the way of our pregnancy journey. And then my OB, we wanted it to be a surprise when we gave birth what the sex of the baby was. OB ruined that, and she put it in an email, right? So I knew, but my husband didn't know. Okay, so that was going to be like that moment that we were going to be able to have. We were at the beach. We were having a little baby moon, just he and I. I am on the beach and I wrote in the sand what the gender of the baby was going to be. So I wrote boy and I put a big heart around it. And I sat there and I was so nervous waiting because, I mean, I was, and he, you know, my man is slow. He takes forever. So I'm sitting on the beach forever waiting for him to come out. And I keep like practicing and like putting my phone on, like record and off. And I'd be damned if I was recording and he came out and I put it up. And then I turned it off and I thought I was recording him coming down and finding out he was going to have a baby boy. Did not record a single thing.
No.
So bad.
No. Hey, Renee, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, we recorded my 5th child's birth. And I asked my husband on the come home video, did you fast forward to the end 3 times? And he said yes. And he ended up recording over the entire birth. And all I got was push, push.
Did you say it was your 1st or your 5th?
My 5th.
5th. Ah, oh, that's
yeah, awesome. Yeah, 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 yeah. Big difference there. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Cass?
Last year, actually, we did this really cute family project, which I highly recommend, by the way. We all got like sweatshirts, painted our hands and our arms in like fabric paint and hugged each other. Like my mom and my dad hugged me and my sister and Chad so that we have sweatshirts with the imprints of their arms and hands hugging us.
Aww.
And so I made a little video out of it and I recorded everyone getting hugs. And when it came to my turn to get a hug from my mom, who has now passed, I handed the phone to my husband. And I'm the only one who didn't get recorded. But it's because it was my fault. I gave him the phone already recording to avoid this. So
no.
I'm like being a control freak. I'm like, I know it's recording. And he hit the record button and turned it off. And I'm the only one who doesn't have footage.
No.
I didn't have the sweatshirt, though.
Hey, Kat, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. All right. So look at all messed up.
Oh, my gosh. So a friend of mine, she was supposed to be recording my husband proposing to me, and she forgot to hit record.
That's like the one thing you
got
to do.
You got one job.
You get nervous, though. And like you think you hit it, but then you didn't hit it.
Dang, it's frustrating.
It is.